Okay, so this is our first share on the second sugya, the second topic of Chola B'Yom Kippur. So we're going to see, you know, a little less complicated and for sure the Shachar Atarha than last sugya. But let's start off the sugya by at least reading some of the stuff inside. So, there's a hook on there. You're going to read Gemara?
Huh?
Did you get the chance to read the Gemara on Mishnah Gemara?
Sure.
Okay, starting with the Mishnah, the Uber Shehericha.
Okay.
Pebe is an
olive. So, a woman who has a small something, a female osa, and she takes a nap shop. So, I will give her to eat until she settles. So, a female osa, after you eat in, so in the cola, you feed according to what the doctor's saying. In insha, mekin, a female osa, after you atzmo, as she yoma dad. You give him after you atzmo until he says enough.
Yeah, so is the breakdown of two different parts in the Mishnah. All right, the first half of the Mishnah basically introduces the concept, you know, so through an ubra, a new ubera, someone who's pregnant, right, introduces the concept of the heter achila for someone who is sick. That's what we're going to discuss in the first half of the sugya. And the seifa of the Mishnah, which is really the Gemara and Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, really discusses at length in terms of, we have in the Marakomas, in terms of kfiyas heter achila, in terms of who do we trust in terms of establishing whether a person needs to eat? So that's an entire sugya unto itself. That's really this, right, the Gemara Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. The Baki versus the Chola Atzmo, that's the whole sugya unto itself. But right now we're just going to first focus on just the concept of the Heter Achila for a Chola. But before we do that, just a couple lines in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan.
Tana Rabbanan. Uber Shariyata Basar Kodesh, Obasar Chazir, so Machas Asuras, or something which is Kodesh, the Tofuma Kosh Baroto, so Nikma, you give it like a little drop
of the gravy,
and then you give it out of the mouth. And if you actually take it, Mutav, so if that helps, then good. The Imla Makalin also, Ruth Atmos, so then you give it like the bone over there.
I think more of the rotip is still the gravy, but still more of it. Yeah. First is like, exactly. First is just like a taste.
Wasn't
first
like a clump? Like a drip.
Yeah, I think so.
Good kosher.
I thought kosher was some type of clay. So we're going to get to the heart of the that'll be our third. So we're not going to get too much depth, because that's really main sugya is other places, but we'll get to it, at least the topics on the depth. We'll stop there for now, right? So it's clear from this brisa that we're dealing with a chola sheyesh bo sakana, right? That's the whole point of, right? It invokes the whole heter of pikuach nefesh, the fact that the pikuach nefesh is doche, you know, all the sermon in the Torah, except for the big three, which we won't discuss at the moment. We'll leave over. Fine. So before we go any further, we'll read when we get to it in a couple of minutes, hopefully towards the end of this year. But just to take a step back and just discuss, and so on Mar Mekomas, the different categories of chola. Right? In halacha, you have basically two categories of chola. There's a chola sheyesh bo sakana, which we're going to discuss today, and there's a second category of chola she'in bo sakana, which again isn't referenced explicitly in the Gemara, but it's part of this larger topic, and a lot of the mefarshim discuss one really. Discuss the other as well. So starting off with the sugya on the spot, which is the chola sheyesh bo sakana. How do we know it's only the chola sheyesh bo sakana? As I pointed out before, exactly, the reference to pikuach nefesh.
How do you know it's pikuach nefesh? I mean, that sort of reintroduces the question.
How do we, meaning in a case? How do we?
Yeah.
So that's going to get to the, that's like the safe one. That's the second half of your mission.
It's easily asked in reverse.
You're asking, like, how do, in a particular case, how do you know that?
Yeah. Well, how did you know? Yeah.
Yes, that's what we're going to get. That's the second half of this again, in terms of, you know.
Or like, not even in a particular case, but, like, what are the standards for classifying, you know, as a general rule, like, you know?
Yeah, so we're going to see. A lot of times it's very case specific about, like, you know, we're going to see is, do we just trust the person? The person says, like the chola himself says, like, you know, if I don't eat, I'm going to die. Does that suffice? Or do you need a doctor to say? Or let's say there's a contradiction between them. So we'll get to that. What?
I don't think that'd be silly. You just trusted the person.
Yeah, so we were going to discuss. It does matter.
Yeah.
Intuition is sometimes very important.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think it is. As long as you have a check and you realize, you know, I think this, we'll discuss it another time, but I think going into a sugya with, you know, some of your, I think, me and Aaron have discussed this in the past. But I think when you bring in your own svaras, I think you're able to appreciate sometimes when you find your svaras being contradicted. It's like, wait a second. It's like, okay, I have to think about that. Like, why was I completely off base? Sometimes it enables you to, you know, to think about, you know, the right questions. And so again,
sometimes you're right.
What?
Sometimes you're right.
And sometimes you're right. It makes you feel good. But then beyond that, I think it's good to not check your brain at the door. It's not a good idea. So intuition is important. But we'll get to that. That's the second half. That's where the Sugyan Pegil will amnalath. Now I like to just discuss, you know, the heter Pikuach Nefesh in terms of the different categories of Chola. So starting off exactly with the type of Chola in the Gemara of Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana. So the first issue that's going to arise within Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana is, what is the Shir Achila? We're going to see that the case is as follows. Basically, where it's assumed that if we were to feed the person pachos mikishir, all right, assuming, let's say for Yom Kippur, it's the shir is koseves, for shar macholos asur, the shir is right kezias, right. We're dealing with a case where we think that if you feed, you know, the chola pachos mikishir, less than that shir every 9 minutes, right, within shir toch kitei achilas pras, right, that would solve the pikuach nefesh issue, that would solve the sakana issue. Question is, therefore, do we say that because all you need to solve the sakana, the pikuach nefesh at hand, you can get away with doing pachos nikashir, and therefore you can solve the problem without being over, you know, the full shir? Do we do that? Or do we say, no, once the person's in a state of pikuach nefesh, we can even do a full shir? That's going to be the question we're going to discuss in the Mefarshim. So the first, you know, approach as we're going to see, which I would think is the more intuitive approach, is that, no, if you can get away with pachos nikashir, basically, why violate, you know, the regular shir, the full isser, if you can get away after the kayim shneim? You can solve the sakana issue, and you can prevent being over, you know, the full isser. Again, in the morning we were discussing that there is an isser chatzis shir, but we all know that even if chatzis shir is also min haTorah, it's still a lower level isser, there's no onesh. So why be over the larger and the full isser if you can get away with less?
Yeah. Is this question what they call hutra versus tabuya?
Excellent question. So you would think, but I think not.
What's the lesson?
Yeah. So what? This is beyond Bris. This is like so classic that like whoever learns will this is, yeah. So we just discussed the issue. The terminology is hutra versus dechuyev. In short, we're going to get to it in another sugya because I don't think it's directly relevant here, but it's a good question to ask. Is the general question is that whenever you have a heter. You have this hakira, if you will, in many different contexts. Let's say by ase docholos ase. Right? When you have a clash between a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah, we say the ase is docha, pushes off, neutralizes the los ase. The big question is always going to be, so when that clash, and we say the ase overpowers the los ase, is that b'torah's duchuya or hucha? I didn't explain anything, but what that means is duchuya. Do you say that really the lav, let's say the counter pressure, is still there, but yet we say it's still mutter to violate it, but it's still there? Or do you say hutra, that it's completely
gone.
Not completely gone? So you would say, what's the difference? You'll have to do it anyways. So there's going to be many nafkamina, such as, what are the classic nafkamina? Classic nafkamina, let's say, well, this is a thing we'll get to later. Like, is there... Generally, is there a benefit to, let's say, violating the isser in a less substantial way? That would be the classic, and that's why, right, use it. Because if it's there, so then there would be more counter pressure, you still have to, you know, account for it. But if it's not there, then perhaps, you know, there's more leeway. So at first glance, you would say, oh, this is a perfect example. If you say hutra, it's completely, you know...
You whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. But if it's tuchuya, you have to be careful. That's where Aaron is coming from, right? So... The response to that is that it's not so pashut here, because it's possible that even if you hold of Hutra basically says that the heter of Pikuach Nefesh is completely matir the Isser in hand.
Basically matir lower Isser.
No, but if you think that the Pikuach Nefesh can be completely solved through Pachos Mikashir, so perhaps there never is a heter of pikuach nefesh for a full shir. Meaning, it could be that whatever the heter pikuach nefesh does, it only applies, let's say in the case, Yeah, but the person's in a state of psychotic, right? But the doctors, and everybody agrees, that as long as they eat pachos mikashir, the sakana will be completely solved. So it could be no matter, even if you hold the most hutra form of pikuach nefesh, at the end of the day, the pikuach nefesh itself only dictates that you need to eat pachos mikashir.
It's a different esser.
What?
It's a different esser.
Yeah, but even without true, but that is true, but even without coming to that, I mean, you have to figure out, so what is pikuach nefesh? I mean, the Hefter Pikuach Nefesh says you're allowed to do something to save the person's life, to get this person out of the state of sakana. But if all you need to do to get the person out of the state of sakana is to eat pachos mikashir, so even the most expansive version of hutra will potentially only get you to say, yeah, you can only eat pachos mikashir, because past that is beyond the parameter of Pikuach Nefesh, because it's no longer Pikuach Nefesh. You know what I'm saying? Because you can say, Pikuach Nefesh is matir, whatever comes in its path in order to advance the heter of pikuach nefesh, but we're saying now that in the particular case, all you need for pikuach nefesh is a pachas mikashir.
Well, that might only apply if you only need one chetzizayas to, you know, be cured, but if you're saying, but if you have an option between eating one zayas now or a chetzizayas and a chetzizayas after 9 minutes, would that apply also? Because here, after the end of the day, the pikuach nefesh can also be solved.
That's a good question. You're saying because, in the day, the guy needs to eat two kezesim. So you can say that the pikuach nefesh covers two kezesim.
What you were saying was that that after you eat, is that since you only need to eat a chetzizayas, if you take a chetzizayas in your mouth, eat a chetzizayas, that's all the problem. If it's other chetzizayas that isn't doing anything, so maybe that other chetzizayas is also. But if we say that you had to have two chetzizayas, you know, one way or another, then the hutra declare question might dictate whether or not you have to do that 9 minutes later or...
Correct. Yeah.
Anybody would say that you'd rather space it out. Right?
So you'll see. That's the intuition. Meaning, that's what you would think. Most people say that. We're going to come across their two prominent, you know, mefarshim, who are going to say no. Even if you can get away with pachos mikashir...
No reason to.
What?
There's no reason to.
Exactly. There's no reason to do that. And like, you know, as long as, you know, if that extra kezias is going to help the person feel even better, that's also going to be included.
Once you're over.
Exactly what you're going to see. But that's a good point, Aaron.
So is Hutra slash Dechuya or it's not?
I'm saying it doesn't... It could be, but it seems like it's not. We're going to see, because there's a big machlokas Hutra Dechuya, and it doesn't seem like this question aligns with that analysis. Let's just say it like that. And for sure, in the case that I was discussing... I think it's understandable why. All you need is a chetzi shir to solve the pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is now seemingly not going to somehow, even if it's hutra, going to somehow be matzer more than a shir. But perhaps even in Aaron's case, where you still need a total of, let's say, two kezesim, it could still be that because you can space it out, at the end of the day, we still view it as the only thing that's needed to solve the pikuach nefesh is the chetzi shir.
How
does it change for the Dechuya? We'll discuss it. I mean, when we get to Dechuya, it's you have to really define Dechuya Hutra well in order to understand that. So when we get to that, we'll come back to this question. But, okay. So let's just move a little more quickly. I'm just going to just document, a number of Mepharshim who basically say this first approach that L'chatchila, if you can solve the pikuach nefesh issue through pachas mikashir, really lechatzchila you should go through pachas mikashir. So where does this come up in the Gemara before getting to any Rishonim? Any Gemara which addresses this explicitly?
One by eating tuma.
Exactly, by krisos, right? Krisos yud gimel. Right, the Gemara there is in the context is going to become important a little later in this year, but the context is a little difficult to understand. But basically, there's a din d'rabbanan of called tumas gevia, where it basically says that if a person eats a shear of a chatzi pras, which literally means a half a loaf, of ochel, which is tameh, so then the person himself becomes tameh begavra. I mean, there's no concept of a gavra becoming tameh through eating, ochel, which is tameh. But midrabbanan, we say if you eat enough, a chatzi pras, of tameh ochlin, so then you become tameh.
What isser is there?
So when you become tameh, there's no isser be'etzem, it's only going to become... But if But if, yeah, but once you're now tame, midrabanan begamra, now it's aser for you to eat truma, for instance. So the only iser at hand is in a situation where you're going to then eat truma or kachem after.
As necessity.
Exactly, out of necessity. As the Tosos discussed, I don't want to get too involved.
I thought the problem with the whole eating the tummy stuff was that you're not supposed to eat it.
Yeah, so that's not really a problem. If it's chulin, and you're a regular person,
yeah,
you're allowed to eat chulin, which is tummy. That's not a problem. It's only a problem if you're going to then eat something which is kadosh, such as truma or kachin.
In this case, if he eats chati shir, will he become tummy?
No.
So then it makes perfect sense then you have to do it, because then you could eat the truma as mutter there.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's the... yeah. So the Gemara in Croesus basically said, right, this is the Gemara in Croesus quotes a price, so I'm not sure. I just brought it, I'll just read it inside, I have it here. Right, the Gemara says, Hitiru lo leubra, le'echol pachos mikashir, mipnei asakana. Right, so we allowed a mi'uberes, right, which is an example of a chola, or a chola, sheyesh ba sakana, to eat pachos mikashir because she's in a state of sakana. The Gemara then asks, mipnei asakana, afilu tu manami tevo. She's really in a state of sakana. We know pikuach nefesh is docha all isurim shabitorah. So why do we limit the heter to chati shir? Any michael isur should be mutter. The Gemara then answers. It's a hard formulation of the Gemara, but the Gemara says as follows: Amara papa hachi katani. This is what the brisa means to say. Hutru la leubra pachos mikashir. We allow her to eat chati shir. Afilu tuva mipnei asakana. Even multiple times due to the sakana. So we allow her to eat chati shir multiple times, right? As long as she's waiting in between her eatings of chati shir, right? The time of toch kedei achilas pash, which basically is the shir, which dictates that the it will not be a tzeruf. Basically, those different eatings will not combine into a full shir. So basically, in short, the Gemara seems to be saying that we're dealing with a chola. Or chola sheyish basakana, and yet we say, eat pachos mikashir, space out your eatings to ensure that they're not mitzaref, to make sure that it remains a chati shir and doesn't ever turn into a shir shalim.
Why is it even numerous times if it's longer than the amount of time?
Well, that's the point. The point is that you're allowed to, meaning in order to solve the issue of sakana, we allow you to eat multiple times.
If you're allowed the first time,
you're saying it's plashet.
Yeah.
Well, the Gemara is trying to read it into the original Braisa, but I hear the question. I hear the question.
So is it a chiddush that we allow her to eat the chiddush multiple times, or is it that we prefer her to eat the shir?
Well, yes. Yeah, so the question is afilu.
You rather space out the chatzi shir.
Yeah. The question is the afilu tuva. That's what Avram is asking.
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe, you know, at the end of the day, after he gets into tradition, the afilu tuva means, you know, we even make her do this multiple times as opposed
instead
to...
that could be. That's a good answer.
So it's the fact that any limit is prescribed is the...
is the chiddush. Exactly. Oh. So it seems clear from the Gemara and Krizos that basically, right, if you can get away with pachos mikashir, that's really what you should. Oh. So just quote a number of Rishonim, who seemingly on the basis of this Gemara, basically paskin this idea of pachos mikashir in the context of achol sheish bo sakana. Oh. So the Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Esros, Yudalit, it's important to note the context. Here the context is Shar Machalos Esros, not Yom Kippur. But here the Rambam explicitly says that you should preferably feed the person pachos mikashir, and only if that doesn't work, then you can come to a full shir. So it's clear the Rambam paskins this idea of increases of pachos mikashir. So, but it's interesting, especially because we're learning Yuma, is that when the Rambam discusses this parallel halacha of achol sheish bo sakana in the context of Yom Kippur in Hilchos Shvisos Aser Perek Beis Halacha Tes, the Rambam doesn't cite this requirement of pachos mikashir. But that being said, it's interesting that the Mefarshei HaRambam, the Nosei Kelim and the Rambam, seem to basically learn that sometimes, right, whenever you have a discrepancy between two different Rambams, the question is always going to be, oh, is the Rambam specifically trying to distinguish between these two different contexts? In this case, to say, oh, perhaps there's only din of pachos mikashir in the context of Shar Machalos Asuros, but maybe there's no such thing in the context of Yom Kippur? Or no? Really, you should be reading one Rambam in light of the other Rambam, right? The idea of
Rambam now said this.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second. right? And to say, you know, the Divrei Rambam, you know, and they say Ashirim the Malkum Achad, and you know, Aniyim the Malkum Achad. The idea, he, you know, explains more extensively in certain contexts than other contexts, and the idea is supposed to read one in light of the other. So it seems like the Mefarshei Rambam take that approach here and say, although the Rambam in Shvisas Aser doesn't explicate that, you know, usually the Hefter is limited to Pachas Mikashir, it seems like a number of Mefarshei Rambam learn one in light of the other. And they are as follows. This is the number one, is exactly as you mentioned, Yehuda, the Rabbeinu Manoach and Shvisas Aser. The Rabbeinu Manoach explicitly says that, although the Rambam doesn't say that, really he just puts it tonight in the context of Shvisas Aser, say, oh, you should know that the din of Pachas Mikashir still applies. Still applies in Shvisas Aser, even though the Rambam doesn't say it. So that's...
He's assuming you're going to apply it from Machlos Asuras.
Exactly. He assumes you can read Shvisas Aser in light of Machlos Asuras. And then, so that was Rabbeinu Manoach in the context of Shvisas Aser. And then the Radvaz, in the context of Machlos Asuras, interestingly, says, what's the makor for the Rambam's idea of Pachos Mikashir? Right, in the context of Machlos Asuras. It's interesting. He doesn't quote Krisus. He quotes Gemara Yuma. He says, the whole din in Gemara Yuma of Hakal Kal Tchila, which is the sugya on Pegimel, which we'll get to soon, this idea of, you know, we're trying to minimize the Isurim at hand. So he points to the Gemara in Yuma in the context of Yom Kippur as a raya to the din of the Rambam's din of Machalos Asuras. So it seems to come out from the Radvaz as well. Also, if he's bringing a raya to the Rambam's din in Machalos Asuras from a Gemara in Yuma, which is discussing our context of Yom Kippur, it would seem that the Radvaz, like the Rabbeinu Manoach, also thinks that the Rambam would hold in the context of Yom Kippur that the din of Pachos Mikashir would apply. So again, both from Rabbeinu Manoach and Shvisas Aser and from the Radvaz in Machalos Asuras, it would come out from both of them that they're reading the Rambam in Shvisas Aser in light of the Rambam in Machalos Asuras to say that the Rambam also requires Pachos Mikashir in all contexts of Chola Sheyishbo Sakan. So far you have the Gemara and Krisus, which seems to imply this, and the Rambam as well. Question? So the you'll see then this year, I'm just trying to get through a little more makoros than we normally do, just so you know it's important just to get some of these makoros down. My third shita like this is the Ramban in Torah's Adams. It's interesting, this ties the morning and the night limudim together. This is the same Ramban, if you remember, which is famous for the whole Chakira two deos about whether Chatzi Shira is an Isur Prati or an Isur Klali. So it's important. The context of that whole discussion is really our sugya. Because the Ramban proves, oh, the Gemara in Krisus Yud Gimel, which you just read before, proves that when it comes to Chola Sheishbo Sakana, really Lechatchila, you should do Pachos Mikashir. Then he then asks on himself, so that's right, clearly holding like the Gemara in Krisus and the Ramban. That's for our purposes, that the Ramban holds like this. But then, just to give it the context, and then it says, oh, once my Shita is at Chola Sheishbo Sakana, is supposed to have Pachos Mikashir, so then what's the whole sugya of Hakal Kal Tchila? Right, the whole sugya of trying to, right, if you have different Yisurim in front of you, right, the idea is to do Hakal Kal, the most lenient one first. So it says, if a Chol HaSheishbo Sakan is only eating Chatzi Shiurim, so then what's the whole topic of Hakal Kal Tchila? It's a Chatzi Shiur of each. The question is assuming, as I'm sure Rabbi Kiva discussed, the question is assuming that the Isur of Chatzi Shiur is an Isur Klali. So they have a Chatzi Shiur of one Isser, of a more Chomer Isser, is again the same status of a Chatzi Shir as a more Kal Isser, because there's an Isser Klali of Chatzi Shir, and it doesn't matter, you know, which Isser it originally came from. And the Ramban's first day says, no, you're completely wrong. Even Chatzi Shir takes on the parameters, the characteristics of its original Isser, i.e., Isser Prati. And the second day agrees to the assumption of the question and says, no, really, you're right. If it was a case of Chatzi Shir, Hakal HaKatchila wouldn't apply. When does the Gemara of Hakal HaKatchila apply? In a situation where the doctor is and the person figures out that he needs a full shear within Toch Kedei Achilas Pas. But in a Hanami, if it was a Chatzi Shir, it wouldn't matter. So again, those two deos are important for the alumnus of Chatzi Shir, but again, the context of that whole discussion is the Shita of the Ramban, that even a Chol HaSheishbo Sakana should only be eating Chatzi Shir. Okay, if you held, like we'll see soon, like the other shita, that a Chol HaSheishbo Sakana can have a full shear, so then of course a kal tchila, because the whole sugya of a kal tchila, which in the context of the Chol HaSheishbo Sakana, can be dealing with full shear if you don't hold this. But again, Ramban Lashita tells us that Chol HaSheishbo Sakana is all about Chatzi Shear, so therefore he has that whole discussion. So then the other, just two more shitas really quickly. You also have the Ran. Did anybody get to the Ran? So, anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, think of it? Yeah, so what's the Ron? Who's the Ron? Which shita is the Ron trying to explain? What shita of the Rif is trying to? Anyone? So it's interesting. The whole Mishnah, which deals with the shear of achila, the shear achila for Yom Kippur is koseves. The Rif omits, and we'll get to that later. Later in the summer, it's seemingly a very important idea. But in contrast to shear machol sasuros, so the shear achila is kezias. The shear for the inoy of achila for Yom Kippur is koseves. So that's the opening Mishnah in the parak mentions that. The Rif omits that. Never mentions that the shear achila is koseves. Never mentions that the shear shtia is revius. Never mentions any of that. Sorry, is kamala lugmov rather. So the question that the Ron is asking is why? Why does the Rif omit that? So the Ron says, oh, because the Rif is very halacha l'maisa, and those shiurim because we pass from chatzis shiur also from Torah. All right, l'maisa, you can't eat anything. Any amount. So who cares about the shear? The shear is a shear in whether you're going to get karis. But the Rif is dealing with halacha l'maisa and leave karis, to the Beis Shalmah. Right? Let God deal with that. Rif saying halacha l'maisa. So there's no nafkamina since there's no practical difference. So therefore he leaves it out. But the Ron says, I disagree with the Rif. There's a very important nafkamina. In light of our discussion now, what would a potential nafkamina of the shear be?
Is how big your could be.
Exactly. The Ron says, since I brings the Gemara increases, because I pass in the Gemara increases, that, right, halacha l'maisa, if a cholash yishbal sakana, and there's a way to, obviate the situation of sakana through pachas mikashir, you're supposed to do that. But in order to do that, you have to know what the shear is. So Ron says, I'm not sure why the Rif omitted the shear. Could very well be. It could very well be that the Rif. So Yudah is saying, first the Ron. So the Ron is saying, oh, we need to know the shear because we pass in the pachos mikashir in the context of chol sheish pasagana. So the Yehuda is saying it could very well be that the Rif, who thinks that there's no nafkamina to it, could be that the Rif really aligns with the second approach and says, no, we don't pass in that you have to be called pachos mikashir. And therefore, all right, you can even do a shear shalom, so therefore it could be that's where the Rif holds there's no nafkamina.
No, not the Ron.
That's an important possibility to mention. So again, so the Ron also, through his analysis, clearly passes like this Gemara increases. And the last person on this list is the Minchas Chinuch, right? I don't know if you guys got to this yet, but we're going to see the Sefer Chinuch is famous for holding the second approach. He's one of the big Baal Mechadish, the first Rishon to say otherwise, to say that perhaps a Chol HaSheish B'Sakana can have a full shear. We'll get to that in a moment. But the Minchas Chinuch, who's commenting on the Sefer Chinuch, says, I don't know what the Sefer Chinuch is talking about. It's clear from the Gemara increases that you're supposed to do Pachos Mikashir. So again, just to summarize, you have the Gemara increases, you have the Rambam, the Ramban, the Ran, and the Minchas Chinuch all taking this approach that's Pachos Mikashir. So I was saying before, the reason why I didn't want to, I don't think it's like completely totally on Hutra Duchuya, is because it seems like most Rishonim accept this approach that you need to do Pachos Mikashir. But the whole machlokas about chutzah tachuya is much more of an even-handed machlokas, and therefore you wouldn't want to be told that one machlokas on the other. So it's best to extricate one from the other.
What do we learn from the fact that the Rif doesn't mention it?
So again, it's an open question. It's it's a little speculative. Yehuda, meaning the Ran was just saying, oh, because the Rif seemingly doesn't think there's any nafkamina to pachos mikashir. So the Ran was arguing and saying, what do you mean? There is a nafkamina in the case of you need to know what the shear is in order to pachos mikashir. You just pointed out that it could very well be that the Rif doesn't think that's an afkamina because he paskins like the second day, like the second approach we're about to discuss, the thing say, no, you can even have a full shear. Again, that's a little speculative because whenever someone omits something, you don't know why they did it. It could be for a number of reasons, but that could very well be. So far we had the first approach that again is limited to pachos mikashir. Just to give an important parallel, you have a parallel machlokas, right? So far we've been discussing, in our context, of achila, right? That's more related to Yom Kippur, but how much achila can be done in order, in a case where pachos mikashir can solve the pikuach nefesh in hand, that's the case we're discussing. You have a parallel situation when it comes to chil Shabbos, right? In the case of pikuach nefesh. The question is, how much Shabbos can you be mechalel for the sake of the chola? Is it only the amount, right, to solve the issue of sakana pikuach nefesh, Or do we say, no, once the person's in a state of sakana, once you're being mechal Shabbos, oh, you can be mechal for, you know, other needs of the chola, even if those shart strachov, as they call it, even those shart strachov are not necessarily sakana related. So that parallel machokas that you have here in terms of the shir achila, whether it's pachos mikshir or more than a shir, is a parallel machokas in the context of Shabbos about whether the chilul Shabbos for a chola sheish bo sakana is limited to obviating the strict sakana, or does it extend to shart shachar? This is just point out, in terms of the shittos who align with this first approach, that the chilul Shabbos is limited to that which is needed to solve the issue of sakana. You have the Beis Yosef, I didn't assign this part, but the Beis Yosef in Shin Chav Ches, Siv Dalet, parentheses Beis, sometimes, you know, the different parts.
These are.
This is the Beis Yosef.
But I mean, what?
Sorry. So the following shittos hold in the context of Shabbos.
It's going to be this.
Exactly. Yeah. The chul Shabbos for a chol sheish bo sakana is limited to that which is needed to solve the issue of sakana, which is the parallel.
It's just the argument on what we've seen so far.
No. Just like the first approach says the achila is limited to pachas mikashir, so too the chol Shabbos is limited to that which is needed to solve the sakana. That'd be the parallel.
So could you say, since like the Rabbeinu Manoach says that you could only do it, like you could only have as much as needed deeds, he would agree that you could only
It would seem, exactly. Because again, these are all meaning, the issue seems to be the scope of the heter pikuach nefesh, right? That's really, it seems to be about the yisod of pikuach nefesh. And the question is, therefore, you know, Shabbos is one application, and Yom Kippur and Shara Machalos are different applications. So it seems like the machok, seemingly these two, you know, applications should align with one another, because it's all about how do you understand the Heter Pikuach Nefesh. Is the Heter Pikuach Nefesh limited to obviating the issue of Sakana, or does it expand past that? I just want to finish this, and I'll... So just in terms of the Shittos who hold that when it comes to Shabbos, similarly, the Heter Pikuach Nefesh is limited to preventing or solving the issue of Sakana. You have the Beis Yosef and Shin Chav Ches, Sif... What's it? Artificial Simanim, it's made later, but it goes Sif Katan or Sif Dalid, parentheses Beis. That's B'Shem Rashi. And also the Bir Halacha, which if you guys didn't see, that is Alamar Makomos. This is the Bir Halacha in Shin Chav Ches, that same Simen, Dibur Maskel Kol Shuragilim. So there the Bir Halacha garners evidence from what he calls Rov Rishonim. He says he brings a lot of Rishonim who hold this idea, which again, Rov Rishonim aligned with the Rov Rishonim we discussed before, again, it aligns nicely, that Rov Rishonim really think that the Hetzah Pikuach Nefesh is limited to that which is needed to solve the issue of Sakana. Okay, yeah.
Does Rosh Hashanah expand it so that even if it's like more of a zero for you, that you can continue doing things or some Shabbos?
Yeah, I think
What exactly do you mean? Okay.
Different... Like the case that he gives with the, is it you have to go turn on a light, or you could go to your neighbor's house and get a light?
Yes, that's a different issue. That's a question of, you know, the responsibility of someone else to the chola. So that's like a slightly different issue.
But doesn't it also bring down like both the cases of, like the only reason I've seen them as parallel is because both the cases of both methods of like in Sanhedrin, so maybe like you would view the same thing right here.
So yeah, which case
is
there?
Like, the is like as part of the riot is he quotes the stuff from Sanhedrin, so maybe we would view them as parallel circuits.
Okay, I have to look at it again. I remember that being a slightly different issue in terms of what's like someone else's responsibility towards chola, but it could be that there might be a sniff also, but it could be related. I think.
I say, could you say that we pass in that you for Shabbos that you still could? Because I know like for if you like have to go to the hospital, like you get it right back after
Shabbos. That's a slightly different issue. It gets a little complicated. A lot of these issues like involve many different parts, and that's like a sofa mission chila. So that's like we're scared. We're scared they're not going to go to begin with. We don't want them to come back. So that's like a separate issue. Again, Lemaisa, it seems like this is the normative opinion. Again, we'll quote the other shittos. It seems it's more of shittos yachad. But I think generally we limit the heter pikuach nefesh to that which is needed for the sakana.
What do you mean that pikuach nefesh has different applications?
Meaning, pikuach nefesh is an idea that when someone's life is in danger, that with the exception of the three big averos of avodah zarah, shfichus damim, and gil arayos, right, the chai behem dictates a person's life is doche shar isur.
Okay.
Right? So we're just saying, Shabbos can be one of those isurim, and achilah b'yom kippur can be another one, and achilah chazir can be another one. So I'm saying in lamdos, the issue at hand that we're discussing is really the nature of the Heter Pikuach, really the scope of the Heter Pikuach Nefesh.
But it would be the same in all places.
Exactly, similarly.
What would be a case of doing the Pikuach? Like, you turn on one light instead of three?
No. Is that it? No, you're saying it by Shabbos, you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, let's say, he's, right, you're doing the operations needed to save his life.
Sure.
And then, you know, he's a little cold. Or he wants a, he's the mood for a hot glass of water. Hot tea. Okay. That would, like, make him feel a little better, but he doesn't need it. He doesn't pick up nefesh.
He doesn't want to water that because that would be mutter.
Okay, we'll get to that. Yeah, you're right. Intuitively, this first approach seems posh. Of course, had to be kuach nefesh, should be matir, that which is needed to neutralize kuach nefesh.
I only see the full parallel to Shabbos. Because yep, the other side, here, feeding him a full shear is the same thing as feeding him a half a shear, just on a larger scale, whereas in Shabbos, doing all his needs, we're doing all our other things.
Yes, but I guess it's parallel in the sense of, and then when the pikuach nefesh could be neutralized through, let's say, one iser, can you violate another, either a bigger form of the iser or a different iser, in order to advance non-pikuach nefesh considerations? That's the parallel. You're right, there are slight distinctions. One's like, you're saying, because one's chatzi shir and one's the full shir.
Right.
They're related, but again, it is an additional iser, it's a more chomer iser, so that it ends up being parallel. And then they can, you know, can we justify an independence? You know, is there, if it's not because I'm not related, yeah.
And also in Yom Kippur, we might be the ones feeding him, but at the end of the day, he's really the one doing the maintenance of, you know, eating the food as opposed to Shabbos. We are, the people helping the Chola are the ones who are violating the Isser Shabbos himself.
Okay, that's another Chalak. I'm not sure if that plays such a role here, because I think generally the idea is that to Pekoch Nevesh is not for other people to do on their behalf. There might be other considerations.
So there's differences.
Yeah, I think that there's more room to say Hutra than the person. If you say that the person himself who is in Sakana, I think there's more room to say Hutra than by.
Or Smith.
Say Hutra to other people to be
Makala. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's not. Look, it doesn't seem to be made in the question. But, okay. Let's just move a little further. So far, it seems like everything we said was Pasha, right? The only reason why the first part becomes becomes important is because there are people who argue. And that's a good introduction to the second approach. The second approach says, no, even though, right, the Pikuach Nefesh could be solved through Pachlos Mikashir, there is still a heter for Shir Shalom. Right, so just, where is this coming from? So the first, I'll say the only Rishon who seems to say this is the Sefer HaChinuch. It is the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel. The Sefer HaChinuch only mentions the din of Pachlos Mikashir, seemingly in the context of a chola she'in bo sakana. Right, I'll read it inside. Again, the Sefer HaChinuch only mentions the requirements for Pachlos Mikashir in the context of a chola she'in bo sakana. In the context of Yom Kippur. So again, we're going to see the Minchas Chinuch is going to be medayik and say, oh, it seems clear from the Sefer HaChinuch that Pachlos Mikashir is only a requirement by a chola she'in bo sakana, strong implication being that by a chola she'yish bo sakana, even a Shir Shalem would be allowed. Let's just read inside. So the Sefer HaChinuch says as follows. We're going to get back to this line. His formulation of Chola She'in Bo Sakana is going to be very important, but that's going to be the next category we discuss probably in a couple of days. Sefer HaChinuch says as follows. Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel. Lefichach, Mishuhu Chola, Af Al Pi She'in Bo Sakana Gemura, even though he's not in a state of Sakana, Im yeh chalush harbe, if he's very weak, roi lahachilo ulashkoso ma'at ma'at kishir sharmanu. You can feed him pachos mikishir, referencing the idea of shir tokeh de'achilos pras, get the space pachos mikishir, separated tokeh de'achilos pras. So again, Sefer HaChinuch only mentions this idea of pachos mikishir in the context of chola she'im bozakanas. The Minchas HaChinuch on the spot says, oh, muchach mikan, that the Sefer HaChinuch would hold that by a chola she'ish bozakana, there's a heter for Shir Shalem. Seemingly, even though in the case at hand, you would be able to solve the sakana through Pachlos Mikashir, there still is a heter. And again, this is the Sefer HaChinuch, the Minchas HaChinuch that says, I don't know what he's talking about. It's clearly contradicting the Sefer of the Gemara in Krisus, that's what we quoted earlier, but the Sefer HaChinuch seems to say this. Yeah.
If he's Chalash Emma Sakana, how would be Chalash Emma Sakana?
Oh, We'll get to the next app. Yeah. The question of meaning, why is there a heter for a chol
issue?
There's no sakana. Where is the heter coming from? So that's the second category of chol issue and sakana. We'll discuss that next time.
Maybe the point of Michal's Ginov is it isn't to say that.
Michal's or Sifra?
No, the Sifra, I'm sorry. Isn't to say that. That the apostle of the Kishir is only thinking about Cholesh Imbo Sakana, but Cholesh Ishbo Sakana, you know, you wouldn't even do that.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, saying, the reason why he's not mentioning this by Cholesh Imbo Sakana is because it's a big Kiddush to say that you can do anything about Cholesh Imbo Sakana. So that's why he definitely mentions it here.
Could be.
It's posher to him that by Akagal Tila for.
Could be. That's not the way the Michal Zvino claims it, and Reb Chaim also doesn't want to like that, but that could be. You're right. You can neutralize the deal. Yeah.
Another thing about this doesn't sound like the greatest comparison, but if we're going to say that the Rambam omitted saying it in one place and it's assumed that he meant to say it in that place, then we can't use him the same thing for the Sefer HaChinuch.
The Sefer HaChinuch, I don't know if he says it by.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you have a context where it's as explicit. I mean, thing with the Machol Sosurus and Shavuos also, it's like the same exact idea. Talking about a Mubaras, very similar situation.
Yeah. We'll still have to say that.
Yeah, again, if you find another place in the Pentagon where it explicates it, again, that would also, you know, that would be a Reyes in the Dia.
But you wouldn't be able to say that just like Polish Angels are going to do Polish Angels.
Seemingly not. I mean, again, you can, you know, Aaron is suggesting, what do you mean? And maybe it's like a Kolshikin, he's just teaching the bigger Kiddush. But it's still striking. And Menchas Chinuch, and we'll see Reb Chaim, don't understand the Sefer HaChinuch. They think it's a strong diyuk. He only says about cholash imbo sakana, mashma the cholash yish bo sakana. You know, there's a full heter of shir shalim.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, how much of an afternoon is there ultimately? Because there going to be for sakana so even the people who say that if we're limited to thinking of talking about the shir, are going to be willing to be more makeal by sakana sakashos for different things.
One more time, say again. If
how much, like, ultimately is there going to be an afternoon in between the first and the second day? The first day of people will all be able to be, many of them, I think, saying explicitly, or as I think says explicitly, that you can, we have, like, to apply the general cloud of the second professors who are more makeable by allowing more things in.
True, I'm saying.
Ultimately, without an
afternoon. Well, no more, if you're looking for an afkmina, the afkmina is pachos mekashir, meaning do you have to wait? I mean, that's a pretty big afkmina, meaning the guy's in a state of sakana, right? You know you have to get him a certain amount of solids. Like, do you have to space it or not? I mean, if you're looking for a concrete afkmina, that's an afkmina. Again, I think also conceptually, I think it's going to be a huge issue in terms of what the nature of pikuach nefesh. I'll get to that in a second. We haven't yet explained this mekudesh approach. We'll get to that in Reb Chaim. But right, there are going to be other kulos, you know, something the flesh is lahakel is true, but at the end of the day, this is a pretty concrete nafkamina, and it's going to be, for sure, a very interesting, you know, conceptual distinction between these approaches in terms of, you know, the conception of, you know, the head to the kulos nafesh. So it's something important in machlokas, you're right, but there are going to be other factors of flesh. Okay, so the second, Mepharish, who accepts this approach, that by Cholashish Pozakana, there's no need to do pachas in the kashir, is the famous Reb Chaim. It's one of the few times that Reb Chaim is quoted Lamaisa. Because, you know, Reb Chaim is, you know, generally more of a conceptual thinker. Here's a famous Reb Chaim because this is Reb Chaim was did the following thing Lamaisa. And basically he's quoted by his son, you know, the Griz, the Brisker Rav. This is, I don't know if you guys got to this yet, we'll see you next time. This is the Chidusha Griz al Rambam in Hilchos Shvisas Aser, Perek Beis Halacha Ches. Here, the Griz, the Brisker Rav, quotes his father as Lamaisa doing the following and saying, whenever his father, Reb Chaim, was faced with a Cholesh Yish Bo Sakana, he fed full Shiurim right away. And he basically, you'll see at the end of the piece, he quotes the Sefer HaChinuch as a raya to this idea. And basically, what Reb Chaim develops, but it's a very important idea, and I'll read it inside in a moment, that basically, the scope of the heter pikuach nefesh is not just that which is needed to neutralize the sakana, the pikuach nefesh at hand, but once the chola is in a state of pikuach nefesh, anything which is mechaze gufo is included within the heter of pikuach nefesh. It's a very big chiddush. I'll read it just inside. I'll read it.
What do you say?
Oh, we'll see. We're going to see. There are going to be parallels in Shabbos also. Who say this? There's a famous Magen Mishnah who's quoted as saying, yeah, anything that's going to make him feel better, it's this idea. So just, I just want to quote Reb Chaim's Lashon inside because it's such a big Chiddush. He says, as quoted by the Greis, once the person's in a state of chola sheyesh bo sakana, it's very important, har yom kippur nitchelo lechol hamoel yoser lirfuasa. Yom kippur is basically nitches, it's kechol, for anything that will advance his refuah. Shebechlal zeh, included in this refuah, gam chizek gufo, any strengthening of his body. Vekevan deshiur shalem yoser tov lahachola, and because, you know, a full shear is going to make him stronger than a pachos mikashir, even a pachos mikashir could have sufficed to solve the issue of pikuach nefesh. Memela de gam ze bechlal pikuach nefesh shedoche yom kippur. So, wild. And we'll just finish the piece. And he basically, like we said before, Reb Chaim says, since he's saying this lamaisa, he has to account for the Shulchan Aruch, right? He says, oh, when the Shulchan Aruch mentions the concept of pachos mikashir, says that's limited to a case where the person, the chola, is not yet in a state of sakana. We'll get to this in a moment. Reb Chaim has this new category of within a chola she'im bo sakana is someone who is not in sakana now, but if he doesn't eat, he will become. He will, you know, his situation will deteriorate into. That's not wrong.
Deteriorate.
Yeah, thank you. Into a state of sakana. So that's is it. So according to Reb Chaim, the need for pachos mikashir is only in that situation where he's not yet in a state of sakana, but he will come to be in a state of sakana. Wow. But if he's already in a state of sakana, Reb Chaim says lamaisa, there is no need for pachos mikashir because his understanding of the gather of pikuach nefesh is that once a person's in a state of sakana, that basically says that anything within the realm of refuah, in regards to anything that's in the realm of refuah, it's kichol, it's not yom kippur. That's Reb Chaim.
What did
he express about the Shulchan Aruch? Yeah, so the problem is that the Shulchan, since he's passing this Lamaya son, he doesn't want to go back to the Shulchan Aruch. It's not enough to just be medayik in the Sefer Chinuch, which he does, cause that's Rishon, but the Shulchan Aruch passes against. So the problem is that the Shulchan Aruch mentions this idea of Pachas Mikashir.
Right.
So he says, oh, the Shulchan Aruch is not dealing with the classical case of Sakana. It's dealing with a case where the person will come to be in a state of sakana if you don't feed him, but he's not currently in.
The state of sakana, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
It's quite a chiddush.
Quite huge chiddush. And the famous thing is, you know, the famous line about this Reb Chaim, he said, like, it's said about, he's like, oh, such a kula by Yom Kippur. So this, the response to the brisk is that he's not makel, he's not a makel, he's really he's just being machmir for pikuach nefesh. Instead of focusing on it as a kula from the standpoint of Yom Kippur, focus on it's a chumrah from the standpoint of pikuach nefesh. It's a very big chumrah. He's expanding the scope of pikuach nefesh to include any refuah. So that's the shita of Reb Chaim. I'm getting a face.
Really,
I'm just the messenger here. Yeah.
Not really a chumrah for pikuach nefesh.
Oh, gufa. That's an agurus machokis, is whether it is pikuach nefesh. Right? So his understanding, his machmir of pikuach nefesh, to say that the geder, right, the scope of pikuach nefesh is expanded to include any refuah. So an expansion of the scope of pikuach nefesh, one could say, is a
chum. If his life's in danger, saving his life is an essay.
I have a test case.
Between one and one.
I have a test case. So,
for what?
For this. I want to know how far Reb Chaim is willing to
take. Okay, yeah.
Maybe Reb Chaim's messenger.
Yeah.
So,
not as far as I wanted to go, yeah.
So say that, like, there's something that you have right now that that if you eat, there's like a 10% chance that you'll, if you don't eat, there's a 10% chance that you'll die, you know,
yeah.
in a year, but if you wait a day, there's a 12% chance. You're not in imminent danger at all. There's zero chance that you're in imminent danger. And if you wait, all that will happen is that the odds will be increased that you'll die of the disease at some point.
Very good question. We're going to get to one of our...
But that's really non-lethal of the disease, too.
We'll get to that. That's a cholesh embo sakana. We'll get to that next. But in terms of...
And we don't assign person has... under strep throat, it can become scarlet fever.
You should ask how far does it go? Generally, there's a rule of not following Rove.
What's Rove?
Is a majority. Generally, there's a rule if there's any like
we don't follow.
We do not. When it comes to Pekuach Nefesh, you don't need to say, there's a majority. The percentage doesn't have to be a majority for us to be mafia.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Even a mute, even
we said it was.
We'll generate a hetzer Pekuach Nefesh. The question is always going to become, how far do we take that? Well, we're going to get to the larger sugya of Pekuach Nefesh in a little later point, and your first question about, are you mechuyev to wait to see if things will improve, that's going to be discussed in a little. We'll discuss that later.
Didn't say someone else, once you have, two doctors, even if you have, 100 seder, two.
Yeah, we'll get that next. And just, we have a couple minutes left, I just want to make sure we're keeping with pace. I'll move a little further here. This is important. Once you have the Sefer Chinuch and Reb Chaim saying this idea, right, that there's a heter of sheer shalom for a cholash yesh bo sakana, the obvious question we have to ask is, Sefer Chinuch and Reb Chaim can potentially argue and show him, but there was a gemara, right? There's a gemara in Krisus. So that's the big question. The question is, how will the second approach account for the Gemara in Krisos, which seems clear about requiring Pachos Mikishir for a Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana?
Who said there was a Sakana there?
What do you say?
Who said there was a Sakana in that case?
No, that's the case. That was explicit.
And we know that it wasn't different Krisos?
What?
How do we know that it's a Sakana and not a different Krisos in that
Gemara? Meaning, unless you see people saying that, we don't generally go for that. Again, when you're really stuck, you can say that, but you don't like to say that. So I'll just present two different explanations in terms of how, two resolutions to how this second approach of the Sefer HaChinuch and Reb Chaim would account for the Gemara in Krisus. So the first suggestion is presented by the Or Sameach, right? So the Or Sameach, again, is not coming off the Sefer HaChinuch, he's just coming to reject the Ramban, right? The Ramban cites the Raya, cites the Raya from the Gemara in Krisus, and the Or Sameach neutralizes the Raya. So again, he doesn't quote the Sefer Chinuch, and obviously doesn't quote Reb Chaim, he looked before Reb Chaim, but again, he's obviously, trying to explain that alternative, at least justify an alternative read in the Gemara in Krisus. So Or Sameach says, and I don't want to suggest, I don't know what I want to say.
He says that.
I'm sorry, there's Or Sameach actually in two places. In Hilchos Machal Sesuros, Yudalid, Dior Maschel, I didn't say it at the time, Dior Maschel Ukfar Kasafti, Machal Sesuros. And also, he says the same thing in Hilchos Shvisas Aser, Parak Bez Halacha Hay, Dior Maschel Ube Emes. So here, Or Sameach.
So he explains that by the case of they were talking about was Tuma.
Slow.
But by the case of her there, we're talking about Tuma. He's in Krisus. The share of Tuma is a much larger share than usual of Chati Pras. So therefore, if we feed Pachos Mikishir a share, we're still feeding him a Kizayas or more, which would be under the category of Achila.
Derech
Achila. Masha Enkin by Yom Kippur, where the share is...
Or
where the share is Kosevas or Kizayas. If we feed less than the share, it's not considered derech achila, so there's, so to speak, no point in doing so.
Correct. So just to, very good, just to explain it again. So again, Beis Or Sameach is saying that the notion of pachos mikishir is limited to that specific context in Gemara and Krisus, which is dealing with what we were talking about before in terms of the Tumas Gevia, where the Gavra becomes Tameh. That's a Dindur Rabbanan. It's a very big shear, very large shear of Chatzi Pras, literally half a loaf, but much, much larger than Kizayas and Kosevas. So the Chiddush of the Or Sameach is that perhaps only there, where even if you do Pachos Mikishir, it would still be, larger than a Kizayas, larger than a Kosevas, and it would still be Derech Achila, so that's where we say Pachos Mikishir. But in the context of Kosevas, of Yom Kippur, where the Shir is Kosevas, and Lashar Machal Sasuros, where the Shir is Kizayas, where a pachos mikashir would likely be, or obviously less than a kezias, with that aside for the moment, then it would not be derech achila. So there, we wouldn't require you to do pachos mikashir. And the idea, the silent assumption of the Or Sameach, which it's unclear where he's coming from, is that it's pashut to the Or Sameach that the heter of pikuach nefesh is matir a derech achila. Right, that's pashut. I don't know where he gets that from. He never explains. But that's his silent assumption. That of course the heter pikuach nefesh allows for derech achila. So the only time we're going to require you to do pachos mikashir is as long as you still have derech achila. So by krisos, in the context of krisos, where the shear is huge, so therefore even pachos mikashir is derech achila, so then we're going to require you to do pachos mikashir. But in other contexts where the shear is much smaller, where the pachos mikashir would not be derech achila, so then we don't require you to do pachos mikashir. And therefore, that allows him to say that by Yom Kippur and Shar Machalos Asiros, where the shear is koseves and kezayas, respectively, there you don't have to do pachos mikashir, because, of course, we have to allow you to do derech achila. So that's the way, like in Cheshvan, he figures it out. It's just, it's a strange idea, because where does he get this idea of derech achila? You know, derech achila man tekar shmei. Whoever mentioned that category of derech achila, such that you would say, oh, of course, you know, heter pikuach nefesh generates such a heter.
What does he say that you do have to do pachos?
When?
Yeah, when do you...
Only in the Gemara increases, only in the context of tumas ochel, where the shir is chatzi kikar. Chatzi pras, sorry. Which is kikar. Only then. But every other context of where the shir is kezayas or koseves, shir shal. Theoretically, it could be shir shalim. Or at least there's no raya in the Gemara increases to any other context.
Is this the only way that Mechaz Chinech, the Sefer Chinech learned this Gemara?
I said there were two suggestions.
Oh, there were two, okay. First.
Yeah.
This idea, similar to Rav Chaim's one thing about chizek ufo, that you have more food to strengthen him, so it's a similar idea. If it's bigger shear, it's strengthen him.
Do you think derech achila?
It's
okay.
It sounds...
Yeah, okay. I hear it could be. Could be. Again, you could have... There could be cases where you have one of that, the other, but I hear a parallel.
I know he's coming off of the Gemara Krisos, but does it really make sense to say that what's matir derech achila, that we then care about, you know... limiting you to only the minimum derech achila or something?
His assumption seems to be that the heter pikuach nefesh for sure allows for derech achila. That's an assumption.
Yes.
So once you have that, you might as well not, might as well be in the ma'ayit the shir.
Well,
might as well do chatzi shir over the full shir. I mean, back to that. I mean, it seems like the Or Sameach fundamentally, according to this understanding, fundamentally agrees that the heter pikuach nefesh really doesn't fundamentally agree with your claim. Really fundamentally agrees that when you could, you should limit the yisur. Right? But he just has this assumption that you need, of course, it has to be a derech, the heter has to include a derech achila. So what he says is, so when you have derech achila, and or once you fulfill derech achila, and if you can do derech achila plus pachos mikashir, someone goes into, hey, that's the best thing to do. It's only in the context of Yom Kippur and Shor Machalos Asuros where you can't do less than you can't have pachos mikashir and also have derech achila, so that's where we don't allow derech achila.
Yep. The question asks me, like, how much sense does that make to be metallic between, like, we're choshish, we like pachos mikashir.
I think it all comes down to derech achila factor. I think it all comes down to one point. I think you're really coming down to the same thing,
okay,
with, like, where does this derech achila thing come from?
No.
Then once you accept that, so then the other thing is not.
I have no problem with the derech achila thing as long as you say that there's no problem, that you have no requirement of, you know, limiting the amount you eat, you know, to the minimum derech achila. That part I don't like. You know,
but I don't know. I think, I mean, once you have derech achila, meaning, once you have derech achila, so, I mean, once you have your heter, so you might as well minimize the counter pressure. That's mistaken in my mind. So I really have only a couple minutes left. I just want to get a little bit done, a little more done. So that was the first approach to Or Sameach, which I think is a little dachuk, just because, you know, I don't know where he's coming from in terms of derech achila. That's something to, you know, moving on as we discuss the heter pikuach nefesh more, something to keep in mind to try to find some source for that, some echoes of that. So the second suggestion for how to read, for how this second approach is going to read the Gemara in Krisos, is quoted in the name of the Tshuvas Chalkas Yaakov, quoted by the Mikrae Kodesh, right? The Mikrae Kodesh, the Sefer's on my desk, Beis Medrash Simon Samachtes. He quotes the Chalkas Yaakov as making an interesting chalak. He's mechalak between two different categories within, there are two subcategories within the larger category of Chol HaShi'ish V'Zakana.
Tzadikis or Samachtes?
Samachtes, 69. There is, right, within Chol HaShi'ish V'Zakana, there's a Chol HaShi'ish V'Vaday Sakana, and a Chol HaShi'ish V'Safek Sakana. So we're going to see later, in a couple of dafim, one of our later sugyas, that we generally say, as is sort of getting to the point before, that Safek Sakana is treated as Vaday Sakana. Right, we're mechalal all the Isurim even for Safek Sakana. But the Chiddush of the Chalkas Yaakov is that although we expand the category of Chol HaShi'ish V'Sakana beyond Vaday Sakana to Safek Sakana, instead of saying Kipashtis that, oh, we expand the category and therefore they're one single category, he thinks they're two different Dinim. They're two categories. There's a category of Vaday Sakana, and now there's a distinct category of Safek Sakana. And perhaps, and he's saying they're Nafkamina. One of the Nafkamina is exactly this factor. And he says, perhaps we only require pachos mikishir for suffix sakana. And he says, look, the Gemara increases the dealing with the muberes. The meaning, we generally treat a muberes as a within the category of chol HaShi'ish V'Zakana, but generally that the pasha is the case of suffix sakana. We don't know that she's like in a precarious situation. She's pregnant, whatever. So we're assuming that the situation at hand is a case where she's a state of Safek Sakana. And that's why, so he's basically limiting the Gemara in Krisos to a case of Safek Sakana. But in the case of Vaday Sakana, so that's where you can say, like the Sefer HaChinuch and Reb Chaim, to that a full shear would be allowed. Again, not clear from the Chinuch and Reb Chaim that they themselves hold this limitation. That. This would be a big limitation to say that they only allow for shear shalim in the case of Vaday Sakana, but this would be one way to understand the Gemara. So again, in short, both Or HaSameach and the Chalkas Yaakov are basically reading the Gemara increases by limiting it to an exceptional situation. Either Or HaSameach, its situation Tumas Gavia, Tumas Ochlem, or according to the Chalkas Yaakov, to an exceptional case of Safek Sakana, while Vaday Sakana would be different. Just two more, and I'll take some questions. Like before, we said it was a parallel, right, to the sugi of chatzi shir versus pachos mikashir versus shir shalom in the context of Shabbos, right? And we pointed out before, the parallel. So too here, you also have a parallel shita who holds in the context of Shabbos that not only are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos for that which will solve the sakana, you're also allowed to be mechal Shabbos for what it's called shar tzracha, any other action which will make the chola feel better. So this really all comes from the Magen Mishnah. So this all starts from the Rambam. Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, when he formulates the din of Pikuach Nefesh, he has a very interesting formulation. Rambam there says as follows, talking about Pikuach Nefesh, he says, "Dechuya hi Shabbos itzel sakanas nefashos kishar kol mitzvos." Right, basically, sakana nefashos is basically, right, Shabbos is nitche, is basically neutralized by sakana nefashos. Lefichach, therefore, chol HaShi'ish bo sakana, we're dealing with the chol who is in the state of sakana, osin lo kol tzrachav, we perform on his behalf any needs, b'Shabbos, api rofe, uman, shel osim hakam. So the Rambam says kol tzrachav. So the Magen Mishnah in Hilchos Shabbos, this is in Perek Aleph, Halacha Yedalad, again, not on the spot, but he's referencing this first Rambam, right? The Rambam itself is in Beis Aleph.
And doesn't he say you need Bikiyim, though?
What do you say?
Doesn't he say you need Bikiyim?
Yeah, that's a separate question of just whether he's in a state of Sakana to begin with.
But then how could he, if you need Bikiyim,
but once Bikiyim established is in a state of Sakana, so then you can do Shar Tzrachav. So Magen Mishnah, again, commenting on that Rambam in a different place, this Magen Mishnah is in Shabbos Aleph Yedalad, he says as follows. This is the Magen Mishnah. Context of Shabbos. He says, "Aval ani mevatal daiti mimnei daito," whereas I mevatal myself to the das of the Rambam. "V'she'im hu sheyish bo sakana," if the person is in a state of sakana, according to the Rambam, "hamashma," the Rambam implies, "delechol tzrachav mechalin," we are mechal Shabbos for all needs, "va'afal pi," and even though, "she'ein b'minias davar she'osin lo sakana," even if refraining from that extra action would not in any way have any bearing on the state of sakana, we're still chalal shabbos on the ban. So this is the famous Magna Mishnah, who again is the parallel. You have Sefer Chinuch and Reb Chaim in the context of Yom Kippur, saying that we're basically we're doche, the tzchiyah of Yom Kippur expands beyond that which is needed for the actual sakana. So the parallel to that shita in the context of Shabbos is this Magna Mishnah that says we expand our chalal shabbos beyond that which is actually needed for the state of sakana. Okay, we're going to stop here. I'm going to take any questions people want, but I know the Sichas Musar Rav Kohn is starting now, so I don't want to stop anybody who wants to go. So, but I'll stay to answer any questions. Yeah, feel free. Yeah, Aaron?
So according to the Magen Mishnah, the Rambam seems to say that there is no connection between these two, whether you say...
If you put the two together. It would be interesting. Magen Mishnah was not one of the people who said this by Kippur. That'd be interesting.
Okay.
I have to think about that.
I have to ask you. You keep referring to the Shita as the Magen Mishnah, not as the Rambam, which implies there's some alternative reading.
Yeah, because you'll see the Bir Halacha and others say the Rambam doesn't mean that. That's why it's really the Magen Mishnah of Shem Rambam, coming off the Rambam's Lashon, but I don't want to say she's the Rambam.
Like,
it's not. He says Kol Tzrachov. The question is Kol Tzrachov of Sakana or Shar Tzrachov as well. That's only really clear.
It seems like the Magen Mishnah itself wouldn't have held that if he didn't think about it.
Exactly.